Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
God's hope expressed in the story that Cameron read for us speaks about an aching father, and Jesus felt the ache of the father. Jesus looked at the man's only son and saw in him an aching need. And so Jesus looks at you and me. He looks at our lives individually and for us as a family of faith. He looks into our world and he sees both the hope and the promise of God's very best, and he aches for what gets in the way. The power of God to bless is to clear a pathway by which God's best can break through. And in God's strategy is a strategy for fathers to help provide that pathway of blessing to the lives of children. I'd ask right now if all the fathers who are here would please stand. And as Mary prayed this morning, it's a man who will step into the lives of children, youth, younger adults, and step in as a fatherly presence for them. There is the Father by which we give birth and we adopt, and that we connect and we disciple, we mentor, we put our arm around them and give them encouragement or correction. But I know as a father of three, I felt like that father in the story of Mark 9. I believe, but help my unbelief. I remember the conversations Vicki and I had when saying, should we start our family? And it was yes. And the 9 months in which she was pregnant, expecting her first child that we now know is Rachel, it was the sense of, this is wonderful and this scares me out of my wits. Having to grow to a place beyond where I was, but yet a place where I wanted to be. It was, Lord, I need you every step along the way. And God took my prayers and grew me so that when birth was given, there at Norton Hospital in downtown Louisville, and Drew McChesney, good to have you and your family in from Louisville. Good to have Roots in from Louisville right here, and Stramowski's. The sense right there when she was born, it was the moment of a miracle that in my heart was that next chamber of love, energy, strength, of wisdom, and a hope for the capacity to be indeed be the father that she would need, and that all the details, including finances, would come together. You would think after one time I'd get it down, but it was the very same with Ryan. The very same experience of being stretched, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And then with Stephen, it was a third experience. And then we thought that was enough. But God has proved to be faithful all along the way. And every time I've hit my limit as a dad, every time I hit my limit as your pastor, I lean into the next step of, Lord, show me your way to grow. They're in the Before I get ready every morning up in our bedroom area, I keep several photographs right under my t-shirts. One of the photographs is of our children when they were young, and they were out there in the playground area, and I hold that picture into and just say, you know, Lord, bless them, your very best, be with them. And I also say to you this summer, that if there's a way that you want me to pray for you or pray for members of your family, if you give me a photograph early in the morning, I'll pray for you as a pastor. The sense of holding the ones of whom we love and for whom we have a major responsibility into the hands of God, who wants the very best for them, enables our hands then to best serve him, to be give the power to bless and the power to believe. The power story of what it means to be a family, the power story of this story of a father who ached for his child, who was crying out for the healing of his child, but who's crying out for the blessing of God's understanding. And Jesus responded with a power to say, I bless you and I believe in you, I've heard you, and I want to grow your belief so that you can be exactly who you want to be as a father And I'm going to show you a pathway in this remarkable story. Now, in our summer series on the miracles and the ministry of Jesus, we're looking at the wow event, when the water became wine, when this boy is healed. We're looking at when the paralyzed man gets up to walk, or when Jesus walked on the water. We see the wow event. But it's too often in the wow event we miss the real miracle that's going on, the larger story, the conversations that are happening, the fears and the hope, the anger and the healing, the larger relationships that make the story, because Jesus was never about the wow event of that miracle transition. He was about the wow event of lives being transformed, lives being changed. He was into the wow event of wanting the Father to see that indeed he was essential to the life of the Son, for the disciples to see the ache of the Heavenly Father for the hurting son and the hurting dad. And so this is the go-to line, these three verses in this story. The Father calls out to Jesus. Now, where had Jesus been? He had been up on the mountaintop. He had been on the mountaintop because he needed to have his own experience with the Heavenly Father saying, you're on target with the Messiah mission. And yes, your crucifixion is coming. Yes, the rejection is before you. But how you're teaching and what you're doing with the investment of this miracle power of your life is exactly who the world needs as a Messiah. Stay after it. And he got the confirmation of Moses and Elijah, the two great prophets of the Hebrew Scriptures. And Peter, James, and John were up on the mountain. Now, while we're up on the mountain, there's always life going on in the valley. Have you noticed that? There's always life going on where it's messy and it's not clean and it's not clear. And that's where the other disciples were, and they were down there, and they were probably trying to figure out what were they supposed to do? How could they prove themselves? And there was a dad who brought the son to them and said, can you heal my boy? And they tried their tricks and they tried their trade and they put their magic dust of magic and none of it worked. And Jesus came down from the mountain, and Mark says, and there was chaos everywhere. Because the critics of Jesus, you've noticed there are always critics of Jesus that show up when Jesus shows up. The critics for Jesus were there, and they were laughing at the disciples. They were pointing out the failure which is there. They were looking at the impotence of Jesus in his mission ministry, and the disciples were feeling insecure, and they were feeling like a failure. And the crowd was murmuring, and the dad saw Jesus, and they were caught up in wonder. And the ache of the dad went to Jesus, and that's when he said, if you can, help us. Give us your compassion. If you can, Jesus said. Now, in most of the miracle stories, Jesus likes pushback. In most of the miracle stories, he likes the exchange where to help people get to the deeper understanding of what's really going on. So he understood what the Father was saying. You know, if you can, you know, spare a dime, if you can give me some time, if you could kind of blow your blessing this way and heal my boy, then we'll get on our way and won't bother you anymore. And Jesus says, you're too important in that. It's not just about that. I heard what you said, that if I can, I want you to know I can meet every need in your life if you bring your needs to me and you let me form and fashion your life in light of my power. Beyond what you think you need, I know deeper inside you what you need. What do you mean, if you can? And then Jesus gave this overarching promise. Everything is possible for one who believes. Wow, all of us to that will say, Lord, I believe, but help our unbelief. We have hoped for and we have prayed for things within our family. We've hoped and prayed for things in our life that just didn't go as we liked. It didn't go as we had planned or that we had prayed for. All the while when that dashing disappointment creates a sense of despair among us, the Lord says, I have something better and more important even to show you in this. If you have the faith eyes to see it, to believe this greater work that I want to show you. So Jesus looked over immediately. That's Mark's favorite word, immediately. Iathos. first year of marriage, it was Vicky's favorite word around our little seminary village apartment. Can we do this immediately? I kidded her, said, I'm starting to call you Iethus Vicky, immediately Vicky. Let's get to it. And Mark understood that about Jesus and said, immediately. And the boy's father, Mike, if you'll cut my mic for a moment, yelled at Jesus. You remember yelling at God? He yelled at Jesus. What do you mean? I do believe, but I hear you. Help my unbelief. Help where I need to grow. Help me get to where I need to be. And don't let my boy be left out. I get this. I understand it. And so here's what Christ shows in this miracle. One is take delight. Fathers, all of us, pay attention. But fathers in particular, take delight. Take delight in your children. Tell them what you feel. Tell them that I love you. I believe in you. I pray for you. Tell them as quickly and early in your life as you can. I remember a few years back, an older man, older father came to me and he said, I wish I would have heard this earlier in my life. Why didn't I hear it earlier in my life about how important it is for me to give a blessing to my children, to say I believe in you and I love you and I pray for you. I fear it's too late now that they're older. And I said, it's not too late. It's just harder. The catch-up work is just harder. But the catch-up work can happen. That's how God's grace works in family life and love. And so the power to take delight in your children, to take delight in each other. The gift of friendship is knowing how to take delight. Taking delight in the gift of us being a faith family together. The power of the Christ is to take delight in people. Fathers, let your children know, however old they are, that you love them and pray the best for them. Because if you haven't said it, they're hurting and they're wanting to hear it. And if it wasn't said to you when it needed to be said to you, hear the Heavenly Father say to you, I believe in you. I'm working the best in your life. And if you didn't hear it when you were younger, hear it from other father figures in your life, friends in your life, saying, I love you. I believe in you. You are not in this alone. Delight. Mold. Mold memory is worth keeping into your child's life. They're deposits into their soul. Now, among the many remarkable features about the Gospels is the Gospels are stories about average people. You look at other literature in the days of Jesus, the other Greek and Roman literature, the stories aren't focused on just everyday people. They're focused on the big guys and the beautiful women. They're the well-known of that day. But Jesus' stories connected with anyone and everyone, wherever someone was, would willing to come to him and let their lives be transformed. And the Gospels tell the story. That's a miracle of literature. A miracle of literature today. And it's so we hear in the story about the father and his boy about how to model growth for your children. So the dad was saying, I believe, but help my unbelief. I'm willing to grow. And children are always students of their parents. Daughters and sons are always students of their mother and their dad. And fathers hear this. Your children are always watching, whether they're 1,000 miles away today. They're always watching. If the last time you talked to them, it didn't go well, they're watching. And they're watching if you live under the same roof and you're having that multi-generational experience. They're watching in their minds. They hear your voice. They're paying attention to memories that are inside them. And here's the word. Every time you can, every day, mold a memory in that day and mold special moments along life's way that are worth keeping for your children. Now see, in this gospel story, they wrote about it. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all the three first gospels tell this story, that this is a big story, and it's a story that that boy would hear when he became a man. All of his life, do you remember that time that your dad loved you enough to get his way into the presence of Jesus and ask the Messiah to heal you. And the boy would say, my daddy did that. And how the Messiah took that memory and molded it into his life. It's never too late to mold these memories worth keeping. Model. To be able to model. The sense of modeling our life is knowing that, that in the modeling of how we live our life, we're showing a way of how to grow older. We're showing a way of how to make decisions about work and temptation, making decisions about finances, making decisions about how we spend our time. The sense that knowing about the modeling for our growth is the most important part of mentoring and fathering and discipling. Because you're a living example. You're flesh and blood. You're not some virtual reality character. I mean, it is you. Give the gift of modeling. And at times that means to say, I'm sorry. At times that means in the midst of a failure in your life, you can model recovery. You can stumble and fall and get back up. That's the work of grace in the church. We help each other to do that. So delight in your children. Mold memories worth keeping. Model growth for your children. And fourthly, is age well. Age well. You know, one of the heresies in our society is that growing old is a bad thing. It's as though gray hair doesn't matter. Why? Because the marketing people figured out that if you can get those 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds and 15 and 17-year-olds into the market buying stuff, and so the market turned attention to that, and then the attention of the entertainment industry went to that, and then the process in which the children were supposed to grow up got shortened, and it all got skewed around the marketing dollar. And along the way, the older you got, that in America, we're doing something that other cultures aren't doing. We're looking down on people who are aging well. You know, a good thing about Jesus, he's always wanting to throw a counter-revolution. Jesus is always wanting to say, yep, that's how they're doing it in your society, but I'm going to show you a better way. Have you noticed that about church, 5 generations, this experience? Everybody's equal. No one is more important than the other. And the power of family is like the gift of aging well is that your children are paying attention by how you're doing those upper ages of life. And when your body doesn't look the same, feel the same, and you're doing a little more ooh and aching, they're listening. A good friend of mine, Patrick Anderson, was with his dad. He was in a pickup truck out, and they were making their way, and his dad was griping about every ache and pain that he had. And he says, Dad, stop it. You're the only dad I have, and I'm learning how to grow old from you, and I don't want to be like that when I'm your age. His dad kind of straightened up and said, got it. Message delivered, message received. The sense about knowing it is good. It's a gift. Don't be afraid of that next birthday. People are watching. Want to know what it's going to be like for them when they're that age. Show them well that God's already there. The promises of God are alive and well there. And that when the day of death comes, when the day that death arrives, in Jesus, you'll be able to show them that the next breath is in heaven. By God's providence, I was able to be with my father 3 years later with my mother when they died. They breathed their last breath. It was a sense of this completion and a journey of our earthly time and relationship. And it happens. We know that from each other and with each other. And Jesus said, You're never free to live until you're not afraid to die. And who do we learn that lesson from best but from our parents, our grandparents? And the father in the story feared what some of you have experienced. And the most painful experience in this world is to have your child to predecease you. And the father didn't want that. Neither did you if you have that ache in your life. But you have felt the grace of God holding you close during that 3 a.m. cry in the memory time when that child is not with you at whatever age that you are. And that means that too, you are modeling and showing the way. And so the boy was healed, and the disciples during mealtime got Jesus to themselves and they said, "How did you do that?" And Jesus said, "Well, there are some requirements in your life that you've got to prepare for before you get there. There's some big moments that come that you just can't do the shortcut work and be ready when it arrives. There's some of this, like this scene, is only prepared for by prayer and fasting. And fasting is a sustained spiritual focus. And typically pain causes us to have an extended spiritual focus. But God is just as glad to get your attention with pleasure. But fasting is doing without something we normally do in order to have more of that spiritual power in our life to do what is going to be required for us in the future. And by this prayer experience," Jesus said, "then you'll be ready when the moment shows up." Now that means God steps in and miracles happen. The power of God. A miracle has got to be judged by God's expectations, fulfilling his best hope in any and every situation. And to have eyes of faith to see it and to celebrate and to say to the Lord, "I am yours." As we prepare for this invitation today, I'm going to first just offer a prayer for our fathers and family. Lord, you know what's going on in our lives, and you know our family history. You also know our family hopes. We want to step more into your vision for our lives. I lift up all the fathers to you that you will allow them to feel that, ooh, I'm believing here, but I need to be there and grow me to be that man you need for me to be, and I want to be that best version of myself. Lord, let us have a vision for others of how we can be that kind of father influence in the lives of those beyond our nuclear family. Lord, let us be this faith family, this family of a Trinity about to celebrate a 69th birthday, to be known by our love of children and youth and adults of all ages, people from all kinds of backgrounds, skin colors and accents, and socioeconomic standings, because we see all of that in light of your kingdom. Lord, now something's got to change inside of every one of us. That something is hard to change. It's that something that your spirit is making clear to each and every one of us, that we're going to commit to you and we're going to trust you to do a miracle in our life and to take that something, that gap, and fill it with your miracle as we grow into your promise. By Jesus, amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.